At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Governor Greg Abbott came to Dallas today to release a 43-page school and firearm safety plan. It came nearly 2 weeks after the deadly shootings at Santa Fe High School. As KERA's Bill Zeeble reports, the plan makes $120 million available to schools.
Governor Abbott's report puts a high priority on adding armed teachers and law enforcement officers in schools.
Trained security personnel can make all the difference. My plan increases the number of school marshals by training more school marshals this summer at no cost to schools.
Abbott says that could mean teaching teachers to carry guns or hiring retired military or police officers. He also recommended local law officers spend more time in schools. Dallas Superintendent Michaelina Hossa, who joined last week's roundtable talks in Austin, likes one of those ideas and rejects the other.
There's no way I would recommend the marshal program in our particular community. That may be appropriate for certain school districts that have rural environments. I think that we would be very interested more in expanding, like setting up an office for Dallas County constables to come in and do their paperwork.
The governor also wants schools to look at a program from Texas Tech that might clue in officials about potentially dangerous kids.
The program uses mental health screenings to identify students at risk of committing violence and then connects them with professionals for counseling as well as for further evaluation.
Ed Scruggs with the group Texas Gun Sense liked that idea but was also disappointed.
The failure to embrace more universal background checks, we feel, is a lost opportunity to really take a major step to keep guns out of the hands of people that should not have them.
Abbott's Democratic challenger this fall, Lupe Valdez, called the list of recommendations woefully short. Abbott did not go as far as Florida's Governor Rick Scott. After the deadly shooting in Parkland, Florida lawmakers raised the legal age of owning guns from 18 to 21. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
The Fort Worth School District is pointing to successes in its lowest-performing elementary schools. Preliminary results from the state standardized STAR tests show improvement among fifth graders at schools transformed into leadership academies. The district added new staff to those campuses, they extended the school day, and gave students additional tutoring. Priscilla Dilley oversees elementary leadership academies for Fort Worth ISD.
So when we looked at what they did last year in fourth grade compared to this year in fifth grade, most of our schools had a 30 percentage point increase in their scores, which is phenomenal.
Leadership academies have gotten the state's lowest rating improvement required for several years in a row. At John T. White Elementary, Dilley says fifth grade students did considerably better in reading and math this year compared to last year.
John T. White went from in the 40s to now like high 70s, and we are very, very encouraged to see those scores coming out just first round.
Still, there are areas for improvement. For example, fifth grade students at John T. White, who are English language learners, saw a 12-point drop in reading this year. Dilley says the district is working on strategies to help those students. KERA has been reporting on John T. White and other lower-performing schools across North Texas as part of a series, The Race to Save Failing Schools. The series is at kera.org/savingschools. In 2016, armed militia group supporting rancher Ammon Bundy seized control of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Oregon and held it for several weeks. Bundy and his supporters were outraged by federal regulations on land use and how it affected ranchers in the area. Journalist James Pogue was on the scene during the standoff. And today on Think, he talked with Chris Boyd about why people across the nation identified with Bundy.
The Bundy family represents something like the life that we as Americans have often idealized in our history. You know, sort of, they have 160 deeded acres, they run their cattle, they're not self-sufficient exactly, but they sort of, they have this life based on the land that's pretty comfortable and family-oriented. And I think that a lot of people, you know, on any side of the political spectrum at this point, are living with a ton of insecurity in their lives. They're living with social structures that might have existed in the 50s and 60s, you know, falling apart in front of our eyes. They feel like their lives are out of control. And they see Ammon saying, hey, we're going to bring back ranching. We're going to get this federal government out of our lives. We're going to be free people again. They feel like forces far outside of their control are governing their lives. And whether it's, you know, sort of technology or finance or the alienation of our political system, they looked at this and they thought, you know what? We can take this country back.
James Pogue is the author of Chosen Country, A Rebellion in the West. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. A longtime advisor to Governor Greg Abbott is awaiting approval from the Senate for a seat on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. President Trump nominated Andrew Oldham to the influential appeals court that hears cases from Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Democrats and liberal groups have opposed him, citing a track record of conservative positions. KERA's Christopher Connolly reports.
Andrew Oldham wanted to make one thing clear when he showed up to his hearing in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He'd been a lawyer, which meant forcefully arguing one side of some controversial issues. But as a judge, he said,
I would leave behind all of those litigating positions, all of the advocacy positions, and swear an oath simply to apply the law as an impartial jurist.
Democrats seemed skeptical. As a deputy solicitor general for Texas and now as Republican Governor Greg Abbott's chief legal advisor, Oldham has worked on high-profile cases and legislation from voting rights to immigration, abortion to federal regulations. Democrats on the committee grilled him on the conservative arguments he'd made in courts and in speeches and interviews, all of which got variations of the same response.
I appear as someone who is bound by the code of conduct that applies to United States judges. Canon 3A6 prohibits me from commenting on cases. Canon 5 prohibits me on commenting from political matters.
That led Senator Mazie Hirono of Hawaii to ask if Oldham would recuse himself on the Fifth Circuit from cases involving the issues he'd litigated.
If you're just representing a client's views, that should not lead to recusal in your view.
Senator Hirono, if the question is, would I recuse from matters that I previously worked on as an advocate, that is easy. Yes, of course I would recuse from matters that I worked on.
Thank you.
Perhaps the toughest questioning came from Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. The Rhode Island Democrat took issue with a speech that Oldham had given where he said federal administrative agencies were illegitimate, singling out the Environmental Protection Agency, the Internal Revenue Service, and the Department of Labor. Again, Oldham said he was just being a good lawyer.
I believe that the comments that you're quoting came from a speech that I was giving on behalf of the governor. He was my client. And I was advocating his position.
That argument, White House did not buy it.
You said that it was enraging.
Senator,
were you talking about somebody else when you said that you were enraged by the illegitimate administrative state? That's not speaking on behalf of the governor. Not when you're talking about your own emotions, I don't think. I mean, don't kid me here.
Senator, I am being quite serious when I say that I was advocating on behalf of a client.
Even when Oldham was asked whether the Supreme Court got it right in the 1954 Brown versus Board of Education decision, which outlawed school segregation, he danced around an answer. Eventually, after he was pressed, Oldham said ending segregation was good.
I think it's not new to hear these kinds of non-answers.
Steve Vladek teaches law at the University of Texas.
But I think the breadth of the non-answers is something that separates out the Trump nominees from their predecessors.
Vladek says President Trump's judicial picks have been rocketing through the confirmation process, mostly confirmed on partisan lines. Especially on the appeals courts, he says the candidates look and sound much the same. Mostly white, mostly male, coming from a handful of law schools and all with very conservative credentials.
You know, looking at the record of these nominees, it's hard to believe that they're saying with a straight face that they just don't have views that are going to influence how they approach some of those cases if they come back to them.
If confirmed, Oldham would join four other Trump nominees on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. At 39, Oldham would be the youngest. Vladek says because federal judges have lifetime appointments, Trump's effect on the federal courts will be felt for decades. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
Partly cloudy skies in store for us later tonight with a low around 76. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high in the upper 90s. At 6:30, this is KERA News.